All right, praise the good Lord on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. And we don't know whether we're going to be able to gather for Easter or not. We may gather in the air for all I know. I know the Bible talks about the Lord's going to come in the spring. You can find that in the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
And if He does come this spring, it'd be an awful good time for Him to come. I just know, buddy, one of these springs, He is going to come. I'm trying to turn to the book of Song of Solomon here.
He may come next Easter Sunday morning.
In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skimming upon the hills. My beloved's like a roe or a young hart. Behold, He standeth behind our wall, looketh forth at the windows, showing Himself through the lattice. Here's the sign of the church leaving out in the spring. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Amen.
One of these springs, it may very well be next Sunday. I don't know. I'm not going to predict anything. I just know one of these springs we're going to take our heavenly flight. I'm going home. Glory
Amen.
To God.
That's right.
All right. We're going to sing one verse here. Well, we'll sing this one song here. Number 31. Won't it be wonderful there? I got a call from the piano player this morning, Sister Sharon. And she wasn't able to be here. My song leader ain't able to be here. And I ain't a song leader. I ain't a musician. And I for sure can't play the piano. But me and Brother Ed, we're going to do the best we can to sing this old hymn right here. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Amen to that. Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? And it will be.
Amen.
It'll be worth the wait. I was telling Brother Ed that Queen of Sheba had come to see Solomon. And she said, I didn't believe till I came and seen with my own eyes. She said, howbeit, the half ain't been told. And it will be wonderful when we do get there. And we'll be like her. We'll say the half has not been told. I'm reading an excerpt out of this book again. Voices from Eternity. We're reading about a man that said an infidel's life spared a few days. It says, during the summer of 1862, I became acquainted with a Mr. A who professed infidelity and who was, I think, as near an atheist as anyone I'd ever met. I had several conversations with him, but could not seem to make any impression on his mind. Whenever I pressed a point strongly, he would become angry. In the fall, he was taken ill and seemed to go into rapid decline. I, with others, sought kindly and prayerfully to turn his mind to his need of a Savior, but we only met with rebuffs. However, as I saw the end drawing near, one day I pressed the importance of preparing to meet God. He became angry and said I need not trouble myself anymore about his soul. As there was no God, the Bible was a fable, and when we die, that is the last of us. He was unwilling that I should pray with him, so I left him feeling very sad. Some 4 weeks later, on New Year's Eve morning, I awoke with a distinct impression that I should go see Mr. A. I could not get rid of the impression, so about the 9 o'clock hour, I went to see him. As I approached the house, I saw two doctors leaving. I rang the bell, and when his sister-in-law opened the door for me, she exclaimed, "Oh, I'm so glad you have come. John is dying. The doctors say he cannot possibly live more than 2 hours and probably not one." I went up to his room. I found him bolstered up in a chair. He appeared to have fallen into a daze. I sat down about 5 feet from him, and when in about 2 minutes he opened his eyes and saw me, he startled. There was agony on his face and in the tones of his voice as he exclaimed, "Oh, I am not prepared to die. There is a God. The Bible is true. Oh, pray for me. Pray God to spare me a few days till I shall know that I am saved." These words were uttered with the most intense emotion, while his whole physical frame quivered from intense agony of his soul. I replied, in effect, that Jesus was a great Savior and willing to save all who would come unto him, even at the 11th hour, as he did the thief on the cross. And when I was about to pray with him, he again entreated me to pray specially that God would spare him a few days till he might have the evidence of his salvation. In prayer, I seemed to have great assurance of his salvation and asked God to give him evidence of his salvation by granting him a few more days in this world. Several others joined in praying to God to spare him in this way. I called again in the evening. He seemed stronger than in the morning, and his mind was seeking the truth. The next day I entered. His face expressed the fact that peace and joy had taken the place of fear and anxiety. He was spared some 5 days, giving very clear evidence that he had passed from death to life. His case was a great mystery to the doctors. They could not understand how he lived so long, but we had been praying for him. We who had been praying for him all knew it was a direct answer to prayer. That was another excerpt from this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. We're going to be preaching today, and God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
And I'm a poor excuse, and I consider myself more than once unworthy, unable to do anything. And yet God uses not the mighty, but the unmighty. Uses the base things, the common things, to tell the great things. And I submit myself even to Him even right now, and allow Him right now to have the preeminence even in this service. We'll be preaching today out of Exodus chapter number 5. And we'll be preaching today a message. God put this message in my heart yesterday morning. As I was praying early yesterday morning, God impressed heavily upon me to preach this message, and I want to be sure to do that. Amen. However, I do want to say this. Last Sunday, after the service last Sunday, I got a phone call from a man, Bob Malkin. He's an Orthodox Jew. He's 57 years old, and he got to hear the message last Sunday on ignoring the signs, and he called me up and gave me somewhat of his testimony, and told me about his pastor, Sonny Moore, which is 77 years old, and I spoke a little bit with his pastor. I spoke a little bit with Brother Bob Malcolm. Brother Bob lives up in Columbus, Ohio, and he was very blessed. I said he was a saved Jew. And boy, I tell you what, that's an exception. The Jews, they got a veil upon their heart. It's hard for a Jew to get saved. He told me about a woman on the bus witnessing to him and how he gave his heart to the Lord. His family were millionaires, and they had a funeral and disowned him. And he no longer, they claim him no longer as their son. The Jews are very orthodox. But it was a blessing talking with Brother Bob. And he said he was going to try to somehow get down there sometime and visit us. I said, well, come on, brother. Just don't expect a whole lot when you do come. But anyway, we're going to take our text out of Exodus chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses. I'll try to get with it quick as I can. Let me say this is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday will be Easter Sunday, April the 12th. Today's Palm Sunday, April the 5th. I don't know where we'll be gathered next Sunday here or in heaven. I'll tell you right now, I'm good to go. Either way, amen. I made preparation against that day before it ever got here. And when the Lord comes, I'm leaving on the first load.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, it pays to be ready. Amen. Exodus chapter 5, the Bible says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord God that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. We're preaching today on who is the Lord.
Yes.
And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious, preserved, inspired Word of God. Lord, you said we might ought to give the most earnest heed to it, lest at any time we let it slip. Father, we don't want to let the Word of God slip. We want to be steadfast. We want to be unmovable. We want to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I pray, God, today you'll strengthen us. I pray, God, today you'll strengthen us. I pray you'll help us, Lord, dear Father, today to be the true messenger of the message of God, that we might deliver this message, Father, today with anointing and with authority, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for it, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Before I preach about Pharaoh, I want to say a little bit about Moses and Aaron. I don't really have time to read the whole chapter, but in Exodus chapter 4, here's a man named Moses. And Moses here, he's a meek man. And the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's trying to get Moses to be his spokesman. And Moses is reluctant. And God is working with Moses, And he's trying to get Moses to trust in him. And Moses said, but they will not believe me. He's got excuses. He's got some kind of reason that, God, you can't use me. And he answers and says, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And he said, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he pulled his hand out, he looked, and behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again. And when he pulled it out, behold, it was again as other flesh. And God said, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river. I guess I'm going to read the whole chapter. Can't find no stopping place here. God's here reasoning with an unreasonable man. He said, thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou shalt take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Yeah. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Every preacher could say amen right there. Right. They say, I'm not preacher material, Lord. But God has chosen the foolish, amen, to confound the mighty. He said, I am not eloquent, neither hitherfore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Boy, that's quite a question. Amen.
Right.
How Moses said, I'm not able. God said, I made your mouth, boy.
Yeah.
He said, who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Every preacher better give heed to that. And he said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And look here at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well.
Yeah.
Also behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye should do. Now God's been dealing with an unreasonable man.
Mm-hmm.
And now Moses, even though he don't want to, he's kind of on board. We're going to drop down to verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go. Moses is getting on board here a little bit. I pray thee, and return to my brethren which are in Egypt. Moses had fled from Egypt. He's having to go back now. He's not wanting to. And see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, he's kind of hoping, he said, you ain't going nowhere. But Jethro says to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest return into Egypt, see that thou doest all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now I want you to know, God's telling Moses what he's going to say to Pharaoh.
Right.
And Moses' knees are knocking, and there's a yellow streak up Moses' back, and he don't want to go to Pharaoh and say this. But I'll tell you what, it's not like you can get out of something when God tells you to do something.
Amen.
Talk to Jonah about that. It's something else when you're in the belly of a whale, when you say, hey, I'm ready to go to Nineveh. I'm ready to say what you told me to say. I'm ready to go and deliver the message. That's where Moses is right now.
Right.
Look here in verse 24. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Let me tell you something, buddy. God's not no respecter of persons.
Amen.
God has put his hand on Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And I want you to deliver my message. And Moses, man, had second thoughts about it. But I'll tell you right now, this verse is in here for a reason. And the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then his wife, Zipporah, took a sharp stone, probably flint, and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And I want you to know, when God saw that blood, verse 26, so he let him go. And she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mind of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did all the signs in the midst of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped.
Mm.
Now, we're right now where Moses and Aaron is coming to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the god of the land.
Yes.
He's king on the throne of Egypt. And here, says afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I should have probably read all that together. But here Pharaoh is. He's not on board. There's opposition here. He said, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh, as a god, sat on his throne, had no regard for God, nor for the word of God.
Right.
There was no fear of God in Pharaoh's eyes. I can see him sitting on his throne, looking down at Moses and Aaron, and thinking, who do these guys think they are?
Yeah.
Come to me with words telling me to let Israel go. And I'll tell you what, the world's in the same dilemma as Pharaoh is. They don't want to let go. But praise God, I'm glad I let go and let God have his way in my heart. I'm glad, praise God, I'm saved. Amen. The opposition.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Boy, I'll tell you what, men, they resist the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, amen.
I mean, this is a visitation from God. His two believers out, like me and Brother Ed are going to do, going out witnessing, knocking on doors, go out by twos. Why? That every word may be established, that you won't be falsely accused, that you won't get in trouble. Jesus said, go out by twos and knock on the doors. Hey, we come in the name of the Lord. We're bringing good news that Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Amen. Well, that's what Moses and Aaron's doing.
That's right.
But it ain't good news to Pharaoh.
No.
He said, I don't want nothing to do with God. I ain't about to let these people go. They belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the world thinks they own what they own. They don't realize everything they got, God gave it to them.
Amen.
And I tell you what Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Right.
And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. These people, They don't have the mind of God. They don't have the word of God. And just like Pharaoh, they're on their earthly thrones, thinking they're in charge, thinking they don't have to give any place to God, thinking somehow they can have a life apart from God. The Bible says that in God we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
God's brought bigger people down than Pharaoh.
That's right.
Pharaoh's sitting here thinking, boys, I ain't bending. Boys, I ain't bowing. No fear of God in Pharaoh's eyes. Pharaoh's like those mentioned in Romans chapter 1 verse 28. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. I mean, buddy, he's got different kind of thoughts than thoughts about eternity. And Pharaoh's like many today had his own conception of God. And in Pharaoh's world, there was no room for God. Amen.
That's right.
Pharaoh had his sorcerers and he had his musicians. There in Exodus chapter 7 verse 11. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Exodus 7, 13. And the Bible said that of men, they hardened their necks. He'd have been off to reprove, hardened his neck. And it shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. That's Pharaoh. He ain't about to listen to Moses. He ain't about to listen to Aaron. He ain't about to let God have his throne. I've met a lot of people like him, Brother Ed. I've done a lot of visiting.
Yes.
I've met people, buddy, I'll tell you what, they wouldn't comfortable be around. I fear for those people. Because one way or another, God's going to be God.
Amen.
There's no getting around.
Right.
Buddy, he's not God of some. He's God of all. Even the lost are going to stand and give an account to him at the great white throne judgment. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. You can read all down through here, buddy, and I mean it's just terrible, terrible, terrible. But the opposition of Pharaoh, it says, no way. Now that changed, and we'll get to that shortly. But consider this, not just the opposition, consider the opportunity. You know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he said they knew not the time of their visitation in Luke chapter 19, verse 44. And here Pharaoh has the opportunity of a lifetime afforded unto him. Here's two witnesses, two believers that have come to him. And instead of asking them, instead of humbling himself and saying, what must I do to be saved? He refuses to give up his throne, his earthly temporal throne, to obtain an eternal throne for eternity. In Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, it said, and I saw thrones and them that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Don't you know the Bible said the saints shall judge the world, and even the angels in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 and 3. And listen, salvation is not just an opportunity, but salvation is a commandment. In Acts chapter 17 verse 30, the Bible said God commanded all men everywhere to repent. I'll tell you right now, buddy, God will help all men to be saved.
Amen.
But God commanded, I'm talking about not just Pharaoh, but God commanded all that they might repent and get right with God. And ain't nothing too big for God. Amen.
Right.
Pharaoh thinks he's got everything under control.
Uh-huh.
And for the moment, it does look like he does. Some of those excerpts I read out of those books. Everything was okay until death showed up.
That's right.
Pharaoh's here thinking, you know, I got this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Felix, he said, Paul, when I got a more convenient season, I'll call for you in Acts 24:25.
Mm-hmm.
King Agrippa said, Acts 26:28, he said, Paul, almost, you persuaded me to be a Christian. King Agrippa said, well, I got a more convenient season. He's making salvation a matter of convenience. Like, you know, when I get ready, I might, you know, I might surprise you someday. I'm going to tell you something, but there's going to be a lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to go like they're thinking. Salvation is not a matter of convenience. Salvation is an urgent matter.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Bible says, seek the Lord early. Those that seek Him early find Him. That means early in life, early in the day.
Right.
Any way you want to look at it. Don't put it off. Get in a hurry. Seek
right.
You first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Before you do anything, seek a refuge for your soul.
Yeah.
Seek salvation. Get saved. Got that part took care of. Then go and make something out of your life. Go build the buildings. Go buy a farm. Christmas, but get saved first.
Amen, that's right.
Oh, my Pharaoh. I met a lot of them, Brother Ed. So full of himself, ain't no room for God.
All right.
Oh, Felix said, when I got a more convenient season, I'll call you, Paul. King Agrippa said,
"Yeah,
you know, you almost persuaded me." There's nothing else wrote about King Agrippa. There's nothing else wrote about Felix. I'm sure in the pits of hell that Felix is saying, "Hey, I got time, Paul.
Yeah.
I got time." That's King Agrippa said, "I'd like to have another opportunity there. I believe I'll go on through it this time."
Yeah.
Opportunity. Pharaoh sitting here on his throne, probably cleaning his nails. Maybe got his mirror out. Who's the fairest in the kingdom? Here's two men of God. They put a finger in Pharaoh's face.
Yeah.
They said, "Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go." And Pharaoh, he's kind of like those mentioned in 2 Peter. Chapter 3, last days there'll be scoffers and mockers walking after their own lusts, saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as unto this day." I'm going somewhere in this message. It's going to get rough. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad God gave Pharaoh a chance.
Yes,
I'm glad God gave Pharaoh an opportunity. I'm glad, praise God, nobody goes to hell without getting an opportunity
in
their heart to
right.
Jesus.
That's right.
I'm telling you, God sent the best he had to Pharaoh.
Yes.
Pharaoh may have denied the request to let people go, but I tell you what, he got on board a little later. Opportunity was wasted. The oppressed, the Israelites were oppressed during this. You can see it pretty quick in the chapter we read, Exodus chapter 5. Pharaoh here, he's in charge, you know. In verse 6 says, Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go gather straw for themselves, and the tale of bricks which they shall make hitherto, you shall lay upon them. They shall not diminish aught, for therefore they be idle, for they cry, saying, Let us go, sacrifice to our God." Pharaoh thinks he's in charge.
Yeah.
So he makes it hard on the people of God. They go complaining to Moses. They go complaining to Aaron.
Yeah.
Said, "You brought this on us." They thought this was going to be a cakewalk. You know, a lot of people, you know, the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yeah.
Jesus said in the world we'd have tribulation. But our light affliction, which is before a moment, worth a more greater reward. I'll tell you what, I couldn't complain if I wanted to of the little things I've suffered. But if I did suffer great things, I'd do it all to the praise of God.
Amen.
Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job said, "Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil?" And I tell you what, he just praised God all the way through his ordeal.
Right.
But oh my, the oppressed, the Israelites were oppressed. The Egyptians were oppressed. A lot of things had changed, just like a lot of things have changed today. The schools have been shut down. The workplaces are shut down. The churches are shut down. While our pharaohs deal with the fact that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 32, I just want you to know there's no getting around God. I want you to know God's on the throne that's above every throne.
Amen.
And all the pharaohs down here will bow to the God of heaven one day. It may be this side of eternity. It may be on the other side of eternity. But make no mistake about it, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Amen, that's right.
From the Muslims to the Jehovah Witness,
yes,
to the Mormons, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That He is Lord before you get thrown into the fires of hell.
Yes.
Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Well, he's about ready to get a wake-up call. Now God starts dealing with Pharaoh. God starts dealing with Egypt. And I want you to know, all through here you can read about all of these things. First thing they had, Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord commanded them, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men. I'm in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. And Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers and now the magicians of Egypt. And they also did in like manner with their enchantments. You know, the world can put on a pretty good show.
Yeah.
But in this pretty good show, and a lot of people are deceived by stuff like this, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and be tired from the truth.
Right.
The fables. There's a lot of good shows going on down here.
Yes, Lord.
I'll tell you what, Brother Ed, and I mean every word of this. I'd rather have 1 ounce of real than 10 tons of fake.
Amen.
It ain't real.
Right.
I want it.
That's right.
I'm glad, praise God. Hey, look here, here's how real I am. I'll shake this brother. Hey, what about no part of it? If it's not real, I want no part of it. I'm
That's
glad
right.
my God is real. I'm glad salvation's real.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Word of God's real. Somebody said you can't feel it. I'll tell you right now, it's better felt than tell.
Yeah.
That woman had an issue of blood. The Bible said when she was healed, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Don't tell me you can't feel it.
Amen.
Here this show is here. They're putting on a big show here. They did like manner with their enchantments. Verse 12 said they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. Now that probably impressed even Moses and Aaron. But look here. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Boy, that made a big difference, didn't it?
Yes.
Amen. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now I want you to know we got coming up here. Let me see here. 12 miracles, 9 judgments, and we're just getting started in them. I want you to know God starts sending judgments. And I'll just go over them as quick as I can. God starts sending judgments upon Egypt. And the first one of them is he turns the Nile River in the blood. See, that was one of their gods. They believed that river was a god.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, God changes in the blood. And verse 21 says, and the river stank. God made their god to stink.
Yeah.
The river stank. Then Pharaoh's second contest. The frogs are coming up out of the river and they're covering the land of Egypt. And I see Pharaoh here and he's got frogs everywhere. And I'm pretty fond of frogs. I've been frying them things up, man. That's been a blessing to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it ain't no blessing to Pharaoh. And verse 8 said, then Pharaoh, he called for Moses and Aaron. He said, I hate to bother you boys, but can I entreat you to call upon God? That he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may go sacrifice unto the Lord their God. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Woo! He said, I thought this was going to be right.
Yeah.
And even though Pharaoh was a sayer, he wasn't a doer.
Right.
What he said, all he wanted was just a little bit more time, one more night with the frogs. Moses said, glory over me, when shall I do it? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. He spent one more night with the frogs. See, men love darkness, real light, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
They'd rather spend one more night with frogs, with a stinking river, than to let God have his way.
Yes.
He said, when shall I entreat for thee? And verse 10 said, Pharaoh said, tomorrow. He said, be it according to thy word then. Boy, I'll tell you what, those frogs didn't leave the houses of Pharaoh or the servants till the next day. Moses and Aaron went out and cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he brought up against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. You see, they had a god called the frog god. So you got a stinking river now.
Yeah.
You got a pile of stinking frogs now. And I want you to know, Pharaoh, he still ain't on board. And Pharaoh, he's mad. He's not going to let things go like he said. And here goes, Lord sends another miracle. And they smote the ground. And they smote it with a rod. And they smote the dust of the ground, that it may become lice through all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. Let me read this right. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Kind of reminds me of that episode on Mount Carmel. 850 false prophets, yeah, withstood one real prophet, Elijah the Tishbite. And he said, hey, call aloud. Cry aloud. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a far journey. But Baal couldn't answer those 850. But God answered immediately the prayer of Elijah. And 850 met death. And one man of God came down with victory. Amen. But look here, they couldn't do it. And there was lice upon man and upon beast. Verse 19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. You'd think that'd do it. But Pharaoh's still on his throne.
Yeah.
He's still not ready to give up. Brother Ed, he's not ready to raise up no white flag.
Right.
And here, oh Lord, I noticed this when I was coming to church this morning. I noticed a bunch of flies out there on the handrail coming up to the church.
Yeah.
And the Lord, He sent a division between His people and the people of Egypt. And I want you to know there wasn't no lice and there wasn't no flies in Goshen. And here the Lord sent a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh. And I can see Him spitting out flies saying, Moses, can you come? As He's trying to talk, and flies is blowing Him,
yeah,
like a dead cow.
Yeah.
Boy, I've never seen such hard-hearted people. Just like Pharaoh, they're just like him.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, but he represents most of this world. But here these flies are, and here comes Aaron and Moses, and they entreat God. He takes the flies away. And here you go, Pharaoh. He said, hey, I'll let you go, but you can't go very far. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, I will treat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh. And you get on down here, and here you got... Here the Lord, he makes another judgment. The hand of the Lord upon the cattle, which upon the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I know one thing, it killed them all. And the Lord shall serve between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all of it of the children of Israel. I'm glad God makes a difference. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the side, amen, that's it's in safety. Israel was in safety as these judgments were being executed. And the Lord sent that thing that He said. And the Lord did that thing in the morrow. Verse 6 of Exodus chapter 9. Notice this. And all the cattle of Egypt died. Boy, they're starting to feel this.
That's right.
I want you to know, buddy, verse 11 said, and the magicians could not stand before Moses. Oh, I left this out. God sent bulls next. And the Egyptians could not stand before Moses because of the bulls. And I want you to know, over here, verse 16 says, in very deed for this cause, talking about Pharaoh, I've raised thee up for to show thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You find that in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, where God said the Scripture spoke to Pharaoh that I raised you up just to make a name for myself. And all Pharaoh was someone in the way of the will of God. And he's causing God's people not to get to leave, to go to worship Him. And he's causing his own people to suffer these judgments. There's a lot of oppressed in this.
Yeah.
Here, there's no getting around. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 32, I believe it was like four times he heard the word that the Most High rules, and it didn't. That wasn't enough. But I'll tell you what, when he eat enough grass, he is willing to admit that his throne wasn't like the Most High. Now, I'll get it here in a minute. I just want to read that how many times here. In Nebuchadnezzar's day, chapter 4, One, two, three, four times. Nebuchadnezzar is told that God rules in the kingdom of men. And after this judgment God brought upon Nebuchadnezzar, he was willing to let God be God. But there just ain't no way of getting around God. There ain't no room for Pharaohs in God's world, but there's plenty of them. Amen. So we've got the opposition. We've got the opportunity. We've got the oppressed. I want you to know, buddy, these people are oppressed.
Yeah.
Pharaoh went and called Moses and Aaron. And here's what Pharaoh says. He says in Exodus chapter number 9, verse 27, he says to Moses and Aaron, he said, "I have sinned. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." I want you to know God got the attention of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He still wouldn't let the people go. And they keep on. And Pharaoh's servants, they come to him. "How long are we going to allow this?" He said, "Let the men go that they may serve the Lord thou God, their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" I want you to know, boy, there's a price for being stubborn.
Yeah.
There's a price for standing out of the will of God, standing on your ground instead of God's ground. And God sends another one. He sends locusts upon the land of Egypt, and they're eating everything. Verse 16 of Exodus chapter 10. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, "I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death." You know what? That still didn't do it. God sent darkness. Darkness couldn't be felt. On down through here it goes on and on. And I ain't really got time to get into all of the oppressed here, all the people suffering, the people of Israel, the people of Pharaoh. But I want to deal now on the outcome of this event. After 12 miracles, after 9 judgments, Pharaoh still on his throne, still hard-hearted.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel go. This 10th judgment would bring Pharaoh and all of Egypt to their knees. At midnight, the cry, God had said that the firstborn all throughout the land was going to die. And God told Israel what to do. The Lord spake to Israel, and he said to kill a lamb and take the blood of that lamb. And he said, take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts, upon the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it, and ye shall eat the flesh that night roasted with fire. And I want you to know they did every bit of that. It's a Passover lamb. And I want you to know that blood, God said in Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 13, he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you."
Yeah.
And there was not one that died behind the blood. I'm glad, praise God, my sins are on the blood.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've had the blood of pride. I'm glad, praise God, there'll be no midnight hour for me or my home world saved. Amen. But the Pharaohs of this world, as they play in their denial, in their excuses, in their efforts to deny God having taken his rightful place, they're going on just like Pharaoh. They're going to find out the outcome of this thing.
Yeah.
That midnight cry. The Bible said that midnight cry brought death throughout all of Egypt, and it got their attention. Now there was no doubt now that Pharaoh nor Egypt were able to deny the word of God. It was a bitter cry. And fear flooded the hearts of all of Egypt. And with haste, they were willing now to let Israel go. And you find the answer to that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 33. The reason they wouldn't let them all go is they said, "And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men." It was one thing to have the firstborn in their house to die. Verse 30 says, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead."
Yeah.
Boy, you talking about getting attention.
Yes, Lord.
God knows how to get attention. He's got Pharaoh's attention now.
That's right.
He's got Egypt's attention now. All of a sudden, Pharaoh ain't as big as he was. All of a sudden, Pharaoh, he's not as stubborn as he was. Matter of fact, they were kind of wanting him to leave. Now, I believe they're willing to pay him to leave, and they do. They give all of their treasures to them and say, get out of here. You see, what will a man give in exchange for his life? Mm-hmm. They'll pay any amount of money for 1 minute longer, 1 hour longer to live. Moses tell them, take your flocks, take your herds, as you said, and be gone and bless me also. Pharaoh get a little spiritual here.
Yeah.
Verse 32. And all the children, verse 35, of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And look here. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. God had already told Abraham this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 14. He said, your people are going to be a stranger in a strange land for 400 years. And he said, after that, they're going to come out with great spoil. Ain't that something? God told how long they're going to be there. Guess how long they were there? 400 years. Guess what happened? They came out with great riches.
Yes.
God wanted to make sure His children got paid.
Amen. You know what I mean? That's right.
I mean, but they've been down there slaving for Egypt.
Yeah.
They hadn't got a nickel. And God said, I'm going to make sure you get paid for all you did. And here they are, not just coming out. Here they are, not just in a hurry. They're urgent to see them leave. But they're willing to give them all the gold, all the silver, all the clothes, whatever they need. And the children of Israel journeyed. They were thrust out of Egypt. In verse 39, neither could they tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. And the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's found in Genesis 15:13. Even the same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord, all of them, went out of the land of Egypt. Now I want you to know this. Now that fear has flooded the hearts of all of Egypt, and they're in a hurry to let Israel go. Look over here. Pharaoh in Egypt couldn't leave well enough alone. You see, that's the way this world is.
Yeah.
You see, Pharaoh had said, forgive me my sins, bless me, pray for me. And like a lot of people got a profession of God, however, and works, they deny Him. He didn't get what he needed. Mm-hmm. All he got was just what they call a Band-Aid on hope and heart surgery. He was convinced that he wasn't big as God was. He was convinced that he better do what God said or he's going to be a dead man. But now if they let these people go, they wouldn't leave well enough alone where they had. And I'll read that here in just a second. They're going to add insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus chapter number 14, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this?
Yeah.
That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Israel and captains over every one of them. He couldn't leave well enough alone.
Right.
Now he's done said go, and they've left. Now he's saying, why did we let them go? Exodus 14:5. Why have we done this? And they pursued Israel unto their own death. The bottom of the Red Sea. I interact with a lot of infidels on the internet. I shouldn't do it. It's a waste of time. I can't help it. And they say there's no scientific evidence that there is a God. And it's kind of hard to convince them otherwise. You remember even one of the disciples, Thomas, he said, except I see with my own eyes.
Right.
A nail prints in his hand.
Right.
And thrust my hand in his side, I ain't gonna believe. Well, there's a lot of them like that. And I said, you want scientific evidence? They said, yeah. I said, okay, go on the internet. Type in chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. And you'll find on it when you do that, that not only is there chariot wheels all over the bottom of the Red Sea, we'll get that here in a minute, but there's 5,000 plus skeletons,
mm-hmm.
bones blackened by the water. with armor and weapons and swords and shields. They want scientific evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ark up on Mount Ararat.
That's right.
You know why it's still there, Brother Ed? God told Moses, said, pitch the inside,
mm-hmm.
pitch the outside. You know my roof leaks, you know I do? I put a little pitch on it.
That's right.
You know why? It preserves it.
Yeah.
And it protects it from water damage. That thing was protected.
Yeah.
Not only that, Mount Ararat stays frozen almost all year round. I think it's only like a month that Mount Ararat's not frozen. By the time you get up, it's about ready to freeze back up again. But anyway, at the bottom of the Red Sea, there's 5,000 plus skeletons blackened by the water with armor and weapons laying everywhere. And chariot wheels cover the bottom of the Red Sea. Why? Look over here in Exodus 14, 20. We'll read 24-25. God had put a pillar between Israel and Pharaoh because he was gaining a little ground on them.
Yeah.
And they got a little concerned. And Moses told the people in verse 13, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah.
For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. And I tell you what, old Pharaoh breathing down on them, and the children of Israel cry. And Moses said, God's got this. And the angel of the Lord went from the camp of Israel, verse 19, went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light to the Egyptians so that one could not come near the other all that night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that all that night, and the sea was made dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea up on dry ground. There's a lot of people have trouble with that.
Yeah.
They say God couldn't make dry ground. He said right here He did.
Yeah, that's right.
In verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Look at verse 24. This is where I should have read a while ago. I just want to get us right where we're at. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Look here. And took off their chariot wheels. That's why there's chariot wheels laying everywhere on the bottom of the Red Sea.
Right.
He took them off that they drave them heavy. And so the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They should have did that, but they didn't.
That's right.
And here they are. They're in hot pursuit of the children of Israel. I'm glad the devil can't have me. I'm glad he walks about roaring like a lion, and he'd like to devour me, but I'm glad he can't. I'm glad there's something between me and the devil. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
But I want you to know, buddy, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. Look at verse 27. And the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after him. And look here. And there remained not so much as one of them. But upon the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord God did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and served Moses. I want you to know, next verse said they sang. But God, He took off those wheels. Then God destroyed these fools that thought that they could harm the children of God.
Yeah.
Not one of them escaped. The Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. By the way, you won't. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. There's just one thing to do with Jesus. That's to come to Him in humbleness and humility.
That's right.
And say, Lord, I've sinned. and I want to be forgiven, and I want to be saved.
Right.
If not, you're going to end up like Pharaoh. One way or another, you're going to be like them. You're going to perish, and you're going to learn the hard way that God's on the throne. He inhabits eternity, and His hand is outstretched, and His mercies are still outstretched, and His love is outstretched, and He's not willing that any pass, but all come to repentance. And I want you to know, He offered grace.
Yes, thank you.
Pharaoh said, no, thank you. And Pharaoh met his fate, as many like Pharaoh will, that won't let God be God.
Mm-mm.
Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God that tells us such exceeding great and precious things. Thank you, Lord, for recording the things that you've recorded, that we can look and read and know that, Lord, you're able not only to save from the guttermost to the uttermost, but you're able to deliver out of the hand of Pharaoh. You're able to deliver out of the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Three little Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that said, we know our God is able, but whether He does or whether we ain't, we still ain't going to bow to your God. Help us, Lord, in this day and hour which we're living in, to have enough faith not to let Pharaoh be a fear, not to let Pharaoh take the place of our faith. And Lord, we give you praise and glory. Take this message, use it however you want to. Get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Terrible outcome.
Did he go completely dead?
It went completely dead.
Not 2 minutes.